Hello? Hello, yeah. It's now working. You know, technology can sometimes be difficult. But we thank God when a new building, things are working much better. Amen. Amen. Well, let's just start by saying a special thank you to all the guys who are working hard this week. I came in one of the nights and I found that all sorts of things had been torn down and others had been stuck elsewhere. We just want to say a special thank you to all those who managed to come. Amen. Are any of those people here today who managed to come this week? Maybe if they could just stand and we could see them and just... Oh, is that... My apologies. Yeah, you know, just a special thank you to you. Please, yeah, please take a seat. Yeah, the Lord is a debtor to no man. Amen. Just as you've built his house, we're sure the Lord will also build your houses. Amen. And as always, just a special mention to a very good gentleman that I always respect. I wish I had his ability when it came to working with things, but I sometimes find myself short. I'm not a good person at DIY, but he's brilliant at that kind of stuff. John, just a special thank you as always, John, yeah? I think John's been hard at work doing all sorts of stuff. He inspires me. He inspires me to chase after God and to bring my workplace into the church. Amen. There are some like me who didn't manage to come. Amen. There's still an opportunity for more to be done. Amen. So let's find time and come and build the house of the Lord. Especially if you're looking and believing God for your own house, then let's sow into God's house and believe that He will make a way for you as well. Amen.
Amen.
Now back to the Word. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians 12 today, verse 7 to 11. 1 Corinthians 12. Anyone there?
Yeah.
Yep, please read. Yes.
For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills.
Hallelujah. Thank you for the reading of the Word. Did you know that there were gifts available to you as believers in Christ? Gifts that are given to you, that are given to all of us, having believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. So many different types of gifts. Some read this list and believe that it's exhaustive and say these are the only gifts that the Lord can give us. Amen. But the list is bigger than that. We live in the 21st century. Things have expanded. Knowledge has expanded. And so have the gifts that we are given. They vary from person to person. And there are other types of gifts that we look at today and think, oh, okay, someone's got a gift of music. Someone's got a gift of working with the youth. Some have got a gift of working with the prime timers. Amen?
Amen.
Some have a gift of working with vehicles. The Lord gives all manner of gifts through His Spirit. And you see it sometimes when you meet someone and you say, how do you do it? And they just say, I just can't do it. ever since I found the Lord Jesus, it's just in me. I remember one person who said, I never was able to play. Thank you very much. I had a brother in Christ in another church. We thank the Lord for him. He's not gifted in terms of his voice. Amen. But it so happened at the church that the drummer who used to do the drumming at church had to leave the town. And when he left the town, suddenly the church had no drummer. And the pastor said, I'm looking for a drummer. Who can be my drummer? Yeah, listen. Yeah, okay. And the pastor said, who can be my drummer? And obviously, no one stood up because no one had any musical training. Amen. And then he said, well, pastor, if you pray for me that the Lord would give me that gift, then I'm more than willing to play the drums. A bit of faith over there. Amen. He definitely had the gift of faith. Amen. So my brother Patrick, that's his name, he just went on the drums soon after the prayer. And guess what? The gift came. Amen. So Patrick plays the drums like someone who's trained professionally. My wife knows Patrick. Yeah, Mr. Williams. And he plays the drums. You would have never known that it was a gift that was given to him. Amen. There are people who tell you of the gift that the Lord gives them and says, you know, I never went to university that much, never did much education, but the Lord just deposited the Bible within me. And they just speak scriptures. They just speak them. And you fail to understand. How? Where did you get this learning? Where? But it's a gift that's been given to them. Some people are just wonderful when it comes to all manner of engines and motor vehicles. I remember one guy had a problem with a car, and we called him from 300 miles away. We had no idea what's going on with the car, and he said, you look over there, do this, do that, on a phone, and he managed to get things sorted. Then you realize it's a gift. It's a gift. But the weird thing about gifts is that they encounter human beings, amen. And whenever at Christmas, I'm sure some people get some gifts, and people, instead of focusing on their gift, they sometimes look at other people's gifts, amen. There's an issue of preference. Certain gifts become preferred over other gifts, amen. Right. Faith, wisdom, tongues, healing. All of these are wonderful. For some people, the gift of faith is everything. Imagine being able to say to a mountain, move, and it moves. Yeah. Just imagine that. Yeah. Imagine being able to walk out of here and just say, tomorrow I'm buying a house, and then it is done. Just like that. The gift of prophecy. Some people love it. They love it. Just being able to walk up to someone and say, the Lord has said this and that and the other. And it's true. Bang. Wouldn't we like to have that kind of a gift? Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some people have those gifts, and we look to the side and we say to ourselves, I wish I had that gift. Then there's the gift of tongues. Imagine being able to sing in the Spirit. There's some people who sing in the Spirit, and it just makes you feel like, oh my God, can I even speak in tongues? Because they're melodious. It sounds so wonderful. And you begin to question your own tongues because they seem a bit repetitive. But theirs always have a rise and a fall and a beauty to them. And when they start praying, you just know that the Spirit is moving, but you're not sure how it's moving, but it has to be moving. Amen. Imagine being able to talk to anyone of any language. Just to walk up and say, oh, you're an Essex man. I'm going to change my manner of speaking and we're going to talk the same way. Amen. Maybe you're a yellow belly and I'm just going to talk in a Lincolnshire accent for you. Or maybe you're from Kenya and you're just going to start speaking in Swahili. And a nation that is sometimes forgotten but is very important, Jamaica. Yes. And we're just going to speak in some of that Jamaican accent. Amen. By God's grace, that's a wonderful thing to have. And people look at that and say, oh, I wish I had the gifts of tongues. For the purposes of today, I want us to zero in on the gift of tongues. Amen.
Yeah.
The gift of tongues. How many in this room speak in tongues? How many do not speak in tongues? What are tongues? Anyone willing to proffer an answer? Well, there's obviously the there's the anatomical tongue, which I see thousands of times a year. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, I've seen all sorts of man of tongues. Hallelujah. The one that the Lord gave you is beautiful. Just know that. It may have a different color to everyone else, but it's healthy and it's fine. Amen. What are tongues? What are tongues? A language of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Anyone else? What are tongues? God's language. Amen. What are tongues? One to one with God. Big point. What are tongues? What are tongues? Anyone else? Mm-hmm. Another big point. The language of man that the Spirit empowers you with. Amen. Tongues. What do you understand by tongues? Anyone else? Anyone else? I think there have been two very big points that have been mentioned. They are a gift of the Spirit. When you receive the Holy Spirit, I think maybe let me just use the handheld one. So when we receive the Holy Spirit and we give our lives to God, we have an indwelling of the Spirit of God. Amen. But then a gift is then endured on us. We get that Spirit of God when people pray for us or in our prayer time. We now get an infilling of the Holy Spirit. And that infilling, its manifestation as our church belief is, as the assemblies of God, is that it is shown by the speaking of tongues. Now, the speaking of tongues can take varied forms. For some, it may mean an intelligible language that they begin to speak that other people can then hear who understand it, and it becomes a means by which they can communicate. I'm sure if you've heard about the missionaries of old, there will be stories of some whom the Lord has blessed, and they were able to speak to tribes of a different language, and they were instantly able to communicate. The Bible actually talks about that in the book of Acts. We're going to go there very soon. Where someone is prayed upon, the Spirit of God comes and all of a sudden they begin to speak in a language they do not understand, but the people around them completely understand. Amen? It may also be the case that there are people around who do not understand what is being said. However, the person is communing one to one with God. I think Grace said so and said, this is now between the Lord and the person. Where God is communicating. We cannot understand, but the person is beginning to communicate with the Lord. And as they're communicating, things are being said between the two that are having a transformational effect or a profound effect on that person's life. I remember one particular time when we were believing God for great things. We had a big conference, Christian conference we were hosting, and we were short of a very large sum of money. But then the only thing that, I don't know if any of you have got to this point in life, where things are so stressful and you're believing God for something so big you can't even say it. All you can do is either just keep quiet and just say, Lord, you have to do something in your mind, because in trying to say it, it's so big. But at that point, the only thing that could come out for us as a group was to pray in the Spirit, amen. And as we prayed in the Spirit, they became louder and louder and much more stronger. And we could feel something was happening, but you cannot fully understand. And shortly after those prayers, a gentleman just came up to us and said, what's your name? I said, my name is so-and-so. He says, well, I think I've seen you in the Spirit somewhere. I said, well, if you've seen me, then I haven't seen you. But you've seen me. And he said, well, the Lord has told me to come and say that whatever you are trusting for, it is done. And I said, okay. If only you knew how big this mountain is, you might not be so confident. But the following morning, as soon as we got to our venue, someone just called and said, the Lord has told me to give you this. So there is that one-to-one communion, especially on the deeper issues that sometimes are not able to be communicated in a very large group. Let's go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. If anyone can go there. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4.
Right, Tony is always spot on. Anyone else who's right behind him? Anyone right behind him? Acts chapter 2. It's a family affair. Yes. Amen. They began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is at the beginning. This is where the Lord Jesus said, wait, wait. A gift is coming. The Holy Spirit is coming. And when the Spirit came, there you go. They began to speak. Acts chapter 19, verse 6. Chapter 19, verse 6. Anyone there?
And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying.
Hallelujah. So here we've got a situation, two different ones. These are believers, they were waiting, the Lord Jesus has gone to heaven, they're praying earnestly, and the Holy Spirit comes and they begin to speak in tongues. Paul lays his hands on someone, and then they begin to speak in tongues. So we can see that there is an impartation, an ability by a person to pray for another and result in them speaking in tongues. Amen.
Yeah.
So many times you hear people say, oh, you've never spoken in tongues, let me pray for you. And as you pray, you find people then begin to pray in tongues as well. That's exactly what happened with me. It becomes a sign, or for our church, it is a sign of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and something we should earnestly desire, because it is a language which the Lord can understand. Amen. It's not always the case that your fellow people around can understand, but the Lord can understand. Hallelujah. So you find that when the prayer is done, I have the gift, I speak in tongues. Pastor Stewart has the gift, they begin to speak in tongues. Someone else begins to speak in tongues. Another person over there begins to speak in tongues. Hallelujah. Quite a lot of people are now speaking in tongues. But there are certain things that begin to come as a consequence of that. Amen. What do we do when everyone now begins to speak in tongues? What do we do? Do we use our gift everywhere, all the time, anywhere, to anyone? Are there responsibilities that come with having a particular gift? Amen. It sort of ties into the title of our message, which is the gift that asks to be used responsibly. A gift that asks to be used responsibly. Sometimes when we talk about the things of the Spirit, some people then go into a faraway place, and they put the Spirit so high up there, or maybe so far away from reality, that we fail to realize these are things that are happening with us as human beings. Amen. And they have an impact on us as humans as well as other people around us. Amen. Right. If I give my son Joseph, his young brother got a little sports car yesterday as a present. Amen. So big brother is in love with that little sports car. And what he's doing is he's opening the doors and closing them every couple of minutes. But every time he does that, the horn sounds on that little toy car. Amen. So every couple of minutes in our house, I'm having this sound coming. Now, it is a gift, hallelujah, a wonderful gift, but it also asks for some responsibility, amen. It's not even been a full day, but I'm already asking for some responsibility on that end, amen. That may cause even more problems on my end, amen. For some people, you are given a gift, yeah, in your life, that child that comes into your life, and God has blessed you with a child. Amen.
Yeah.
It's a gift, but it comes with responsibility.
Yeah.
You can't stay at home and sleep every day. Now you have to wake up and go to work. Amen.
Yeah.
Because that child is demanding of what is due to them. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
If you've been given a car by the Lord, by His grace, responsibility also comes. You can either be that driver who's forever zipping in and out of traffic and making everyone scratch their head, or for those who don't know the Lord Jesus, they may be saying some horrible words to them. I'm sure none of the people in this church do that. Hallelujah. We are all very appreciative, well, gracious when those people cut us in the road. We just say, may the Lord Jesus be with them. Hallelujah. Amen. But we pray we are responsible. Responsible. The gift demands responsibility. The gift demands responsibility. We've got quite a lot of doctors in the church. Amen. Hallelujah. They've been blessed with a few letters before their names. Amen. They move around calling themselves doctors. Amen. And it's a nice thing to do and say, I'm Dr. So-and-so. Dr. So-and-so. So-and-so, so-and-so. Oh, there you go. When I'm saying to you, Mrs. Vickers, I think you need to make sure you eat more cake. In my surgery, I'll be so serious when I'm saying that. But there's responsibility that comes. Because if I tell Mrs. Vickers to eat as much cake as she possibly can, very soon Mrs. Vickers will not have too many teeth left, amen? And then she'll come back to me and begin to pursue me through the legal channels. And I may live to regret it, amen? So, even the name comes with a responsibility. It's a gift, but it comes with a responsibility. Now, when it comes to this issue of speaking in tongues, I've spoken about how some people just love the way they sound. I was part of churches where people just loved to. I don't know if you've ever been to some of these churches. When the Spirit comes, it really comes, and there's a bit of action to the coming of the Spirit. Amen. And there's a lot of jumping. Amen. And there's a lot of shouting. Amen. And the Spirit is being, the tongues are being spoken at a very high voice. Now, that's happening, and the Spirit is moving. Hallelujah. Yeah. But let's keep an eye on some responsibilities that we may have in view of all of these things. There's the issue of the big picture. What's the big picture? The big picture is we want to win souls.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. I can do all of that. But if I don't have love, it's pointless. It's a complete waste of time. I can be a doctor, but if I don't love my patient, it's a complete waste of time. I can just go home and tinker on whatever I want to. The big picture is we want to win souls. So all of that's praying in the Spirit. Everything we're doing, we're trying to get to a point where we draw closer to God. And as we're closer to Him, we can then become people who win souls for the Lord. Or not only that, we pray in the Spirit and intercede for people that their lives may be transformed. And as they're transformed, then we can be in a position to minister to them. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Let's remember the big picture. The big picture, Paul says to us, he's a very interesting man, this Paul gentleman. The big picture. He says, let us especially seek prophecy rather than tongues. We're now in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. Very interesting. Paul says, I speak in tongues more than everyone. But at the same time, he says, let us seek prophecy rather than tongues. Why? Anyone with an idea? Prophecy being something that you can hear and understand. Communication more with God. Why would he say, I want you to prophesy more than speak in tongues? Others can understand prophecy. Impacting on other people. Lead more people to the Lord. Why? Why would you think you'd say prophesy rather than speak in tongues? To encourage others? They understand it better. It is edifying. You know, some things are, like I said, let's always remember, let's bring them back straight back to the ground. By their very nature, tongues are not understood. It's as simple as that. Do you understand me? Did anyone hear what I said besides my wife? I simply said, if I said to you, do you understand me? Would you understand me? tongues by their very nature are not understood. So if you come to this church on a typical Sunday, then you walk in Boston, Lincolnshire, of all the places in the country, Boston, Lincolnshire,
yeah.
And you walk in and there's a guy saying, Nasi tulote damarine ramatitira. A few people may just scratch their heads. But in effect, I'm saying, Lord, we want to thank you for what you're doing for us today.
Yeah.
I can understand, the Lord can understand. But the person walking through the door cannot understand.
Yeah.
Cannot understand. It is better to be understood than not be understood.
Yeah.
This is a basic communication issue. Not trying to get too deep into the word, but these are basics of communication. You just want to be understood. We want to hear you. We want to understand you. Because if we don't hear you, we don't understand you. You cannot impact our lives. We cannot win souls for the Lord Jesus. Let's keep the big picture. It will benefit the most people when we speak in a way they understand. We live in England. That's why we speak in English. It makes sense. It's as simple as that. The country has millions of people, but only one language. Because that one language is the one that enables us to understand, to communicate. Amen? Let's just go back. Sometimes history is a good thing. Some people maybe... but I think these issues apply even in Lincolnshire. You know, when Christians went on missions many years ago to different parts of the world, they really wanted the word of God to go out. They were pushing the big picture. The big picture is to win souls for Christ. Hallelujah. Win souls for Christ. However, in their endeavor, some basic errors were also made. So you'd find places like where I come from, church would be held in Latin. Right. So you've just flown 10,000 miles and you land in my village where the predominant language is, let's say, English. And then you come in and you start preaching the gospel in Latin. Has anyone here ever heard Latin? Can you speak, or did you do a few lessons, but you've heard a bit of Latin being said? It's that language that we find on some of the monuments, and we ask ourselves, what exactly is being said? Though I did come across a wonderful Latin phrase at the last men's conference called Nemo Resideo.
Yeah.
No one left behind.
Yeah.
Amen. Awesome saying. No one must be left behind.
Yeah.
But then, if I didn't tell you what Nemo Resideo means, you may not have understood what a powerful statement it is. So people would go out and they would speak the gospel. But they were trying to force the locals to learn Latin. Force them to learn Latin. Teach them to learn Latin. Can you see how that just creates a barrier? Is it not easier if I learn the local language and then begin to translate in my head and begin to speak the local language, the vernacular? Is that not easier? Imagine reading the Bible in Latin. Imagine the Lord calling you to Jamaica and you go there with a heavy Scottish accent. I just want you to imagine some of those dreadlocked Jamaicans listening to the Scottish preacher. It may be, there may be grace for it, but it might be a lot easier if someone who speaks in a manner that the people can understand is holding the mic. Amen.
Yeah.
Let's keep the big picture and let's reach people. The gospel began to spread in my country when the shift happened and people realized, let's pray for the gift of tongues and begin to speak the tongues of the locals. Amen?
Yeah.
And when the Lord gifted them, there are men whom the Lord gifted who wrote 200 or so odd pages, I'll speak for a denomination in my church, where an Englishman, the Lord gave him the gift and he translated over 200 English songs into the local dialect. And those songs became the gateway to reach the many. So the gift of tongues was used in a way that was able to fulfill the big picture.
Yeah.
Not to isolate or to keep people in groupings where they could not enter. If you remember, in this country, there was a period of time where the Bible could not be read by you and me. Because it was in Latin. Until King James came around. We won't talk about some of the other reasons in the background. But let's just thank the Lord that He created the King James Version. And that brought the Bible to us. The gift of tongues. People are now able to communicate and speak. Hallelujah. Let's keep the big picture, winning souls. The second big picture or big issue is communicating clearly. Just communicating clearly. We want to win souls, but we also want to communicate clearly. Hallelujah. You know, I spoke about people being called out to different parts of the world. The Lord calling you. When I was at uni, there were people who really earnestly believed the Lord was calling them. Hallelujah. So they would wake up on a typical Saturday morning or even Friday after lectures. They would just say, the Lord has called me to go and preach the gospel in New York. Not the American, or New York, Boston, let's say. And they would just leave London and just come straight to New York and with nothing and just start preaching the gospel. And there was grace for it. But if the Lord has called you to minister to a particular group, would it not go further if you first understood that group? Understood who they are. Understood what is important to them. Understood how they speak. Let's go to verse 6 to 13 of 1 Corinthians 14. Now, brothers, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction? Even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as the flute or harp, how will anyone know that tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you are saying? You will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and he is a foreigner to me. So it is with you. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. For this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret what he says. Amen. Yeah, we live in Boston. Let's just, we're trying to, you know, we are a local church. We're a local church. We live in Boston. Just look at our church. I'm from Zimbabwe. Pastor grew up in Essex. Got some Lincolnshire people, got some Nigerian people, Brazilian people, Jamaican people, Nigerian people, Latvian people, Romanian people, Polish people, Welsh people. Yes, we have to. Yeah, the Welsh are a rather feisty bunch. They don't want to be associated with the English, but there you go. They're married. What can they do? They're married. Yeah. So we've got all sorts of people. All sorts of people. We want to communicate with each other. As people from different parts of the world. Sometimes there will be a need for a translator. There will be a need for a translator. Just like my brother and sister are doing in the corner there. There will be a need for a translator. Someone who can bring the English into the ear of someone who doesn't understand. They could have left them to just be by themselves. But they'll just walk out of this place saying, I heard a few hymns that sound like what I used to hear when I was at home. But they may not fully understand what has been said. There's a need to communicate clearly. Now, there's the issue to do with order. That's the final point I'll talk about. Order. We're sitting in nice rows. We thank the Lord for all those who did the setup. nice rows, the church is looking smart, everyone's ready for church, amen. But I spoke about some of those churches I've been a part of, which I still associate with. By saying I was a part of them doesn't mean I no longer go to them when I'm with my family, etc. No, or I'm speaking down of them. The Lord has different ways of ministering to people, amen. However, you can be in a situation where you walk in and you've got 1,000 people praying in tongues at the same time. Hallelujah, they're speaking to the Lord individually. But to someone who's just walking in, it can be a bit of a raucous event. Amen.
Yeah.
A bit of a noisy situation. And you're failing to hear. Someone saying something there, someone saying something there. So, you want to invite someone in to know the Lord. When they walk in for the first time and they hear that, are they always in a position for them to understand and be welcomed? Or the first thing that they encounter, they may say, what is going on here? We have to put ourselves in our listeners' shoes at times. Just to put ourselves, to empathize, put ourselves in someone else's situation. And say, for this area that I'm entering into, if I start speaking my native language of Shona, or I'm in a predominantly, if this church had a majority of Shona people, but it's in Boston, Lincolnshire, and it had a vision to reach out to the whole of Boston, it could only ever reach out to Shona people. It could not reach out to any other grouping, simply because of the mode of communication, because anyone else who walks in would not understand. We must put ourselves in our listeners' ears. Now, things can be very confusing. But let's hear what Paul says in verse 26 to 27 of 1 Corinthians 20 or 14. Let me read. No, let me just go to verse 39 actually. Therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. So there's a need for order. We're all trying to achieve the same end, but there's a need for order. Order in the church of God. People can get quite confused. Now, I've spoken about all these things, and by now someone is thinking, so why bother with the tongues anyway? Let's just make it all English and just shut everything out and let everything be spoken in English, and that's the end of the story. What's the need for tongues anyway? Why are these churches having these raucous meetings where everyone's speaking in tongues? Amen. Verse 39, therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
At the beginning I said, Paul said he spoke in tongues more than anyone else. As a result of this chapter, some people then have taken the opposite view of saying we will remove tongues from the gifts of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Remove tongues from a manifestation that should be witnessed within the body of Christ. And say, we don't understand it, we cannot put it into English, so we're not going to listen to it. But it has a role and a purpose. However, there is a responsibility that comes with it. A responsibility that comes with the gift. And that responsibility is the one that I wanted to conscientize you of today. That the Lord may give us the wisdom and His Spirit may just minister to us and enable us to use the gifts He's given us in a manner that maintains that big picture of reaching out and winning souls, but doing it in a manner that enables us to communicate clearly and effectively, and also enables us to maintain order in all that we're doing. It may be a message that may not apply fully to this church because I feel we're doing a lot of the things right already. But it's important we learn these principles.
Yes.
Learn these principles. When you do go to a church where people are speaking in tongues, don't just be quiet and say it's disorderly. there is grace to join in. Amen. If you're in that place and you're asking God, saying, I don't know what to do with my situation. And maybe you, like me, did not have a native English tongue. Then it might be an opportunity for you to just shout out in your local language and just let those tongues come out. And let the Lord give you a new heavenly language if necessary. Amen. The way the Queen speaks is wonderful. We love that proper received BBC stuff. That's wonderful. But if you grew up in Boston and you speak in a particular way, the Lord loves it just like that. There's a place and there is grace for all of these things. So the Lord is giving us gifts, amen? Varied gifts. But we have responsibilities that come with having those gifts. Today we just focused on the issue of tongues. But I want you to look at all the gifts that the Lord has given you as well. And just ask yourself, am I making sure I am being responsible with the gifts? The doctors in the house, are we being responsible? The employees in the house, are we being responsible? The fathers in the house, are we being responsible? The mothers in the house, are we being responsible? The children in the house, are we being responsible? And in closing, everything I have said so far has all been because of my voice. My voice. We spoke about the tongue. It has the power of life and death. Are we responsible for our tongues? I will leave you to ponder on that question next time certain words come out of your mouth or about to roll off your tongue. Let's be responsible and let's love the Lord and reach souls everywhere. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Amen.